Hey, thanks for being with us on a Friday. Hope your week has gone well. Let's get to the stories that we're tracking today.
This is the Three at Three on Wisconsin's Afternoon News.
All right, the first in the Three at Three is breaking news that we're following this afternoon. Reports of an explosion and evacuations are underway in Sheboygan County, just west of Cascade. I have a source who's giving me some information. Says there are reports of injuries. 17 departments have been called. It appears that maybe a high-powered gas line or some other utility line is at the center of this. We are collecting information. We do know there was an explosion and evacuations are underway. First responders are saying that there are injuries and crews from numerous departments are responding. That's the first thing, and we will stay on top of this for you this afternoon.
Number two, if you're out on the road right now, a quick reminder, buckle up. Wisconsin just hit a 94% seatbelt use rate. It's up 2% from 2 years ago, a new record high for our state. But here's the part that matters to you at this moment. About half of people are killed in crashes in our state were not wearing a seatbelt. Last year, nearly 8,000 crashes involved unbelted drivers, leading to 176 deaths. We want zero on the roads. Also, if you're driving or riding along right now, take 2 seconds, make that seatbelt clicked, and save your life.
Good idea. Hey, next up, two new festivals coming to Milwaukee's lakefront. This is pretty cool. The Freshwater Food and Wine Festival will debut next year. That's the Freshwater Food and Wine Festival. That'll be in September, featuring a lineup of culinary talent from local favorites to nationally recognized chefs and TV personality. There will be a farmer's market, as the title suggests. Lots of food, lots of good drink. That is next September. And then the Rock and Roll Fest, also down there near the lakefront, will debut in 2027. It's going to be rock and roll and cars is kind of the thing. Organizers say designed for gearheads and music lovers, cultural explorers, and people who just love our city. Custom-built cars, lots of music, lots of food, driving simulators, etc. So, one festival this September, September 26th, another one added September of 27. Yeah, let's do a bonus 3 at 3.
Sure. Bonus 3 at 3, an important reminder about a local hero being honored this Sunday, November 15th, starting at 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Kelly's Bleachers in Wind Lake, a fundraiser to help officers get to Washington, D.C. to honor fallen Milwaukee officer Kendall Corder. Corder was a six-year MPD veteran who was ambushed while responding to a shots fired call back in June. He passed away days later at just 32 years old. His partner that was on the scene as well survived. Registration is $30 per player with raffles and a 50-50 drawing. Officer Corder's service and sacrifice run deep, and this event will help make sure he's honored the way he deserves.
I love this. We talked to Patty Jerving, the mother of Peter Jerving, and she talks about the importance of this week, the importance of the recognition for the families of victims and for the men and women who served alongside the victims. So for them to go to Washington, D.C. is such an important thing.
Yeah, they said the vigil part, the candlelight at night, is the most powerful.
Yeah, so here's a way that you can help. By the way, there are other ways coming up in the coming months, and we will continue to let you know. The breaking news this afternoon, reports of an explosion and an evacuation underway in Sheboygan County. Reports of injuries. 15 or 20 departments are responding to the explosion. It's in the western part of Sheboygan County, just west of Cascade. As we gather more information, we will share it with you.
Meanwhile, a local high school senior is turning his passion for farming into a national level achievement. His name is Owen Hemling, an 18-year-old student at Beaver Dam High School. He's not only a teacher's assistant in the agriculture class, but also a rising star in the FFA, Future Farmers of America, at the National Agri-Science Fair.
For me, this Agri-Science Fair is the best way I can, you know, utilize my skills to give back to agriculture and to my community. It's something that I'm going to be doing in the future. I think it's super important to support our farmers.
By the time Owen was 12, he had already started his own poultry business, competing in country fairs and learning the ins and outs of running a farm.
So we are on a corner of one of their fields, 2 acres. We built a house and then built a kind of a barn type shed for our coop. And so that's where we've been housing all of our poultry. So we're still, you know, if we ever need anything or if they ever need help on the farm, we're right there. We could bike when we're younger. And now I can drive the two of us over there.
He's talking about his brother. So his brother was 9. He was 12 when they started this
business.
Now they have hundreds of chickens that they're raising with a poultry farm. By the way, if you text WATCH to 855-616-1620, WATCH to our Setting Limited Talk and text line, you can see a great photo. And I want to talk about his dedication and curiosity that has taken him this far. Owen recently competed in the Animal Systems Division at the National Agri-Science Fair. His project focused on a cost-benefit analysis of reducing ammonia levels in poultry farms. So they're droppings, okay? Mm-hmm. It not only makes the farms cleaner, but healthier and more profitable. And here's what he found with his research.
I tested that alone by itself. I tested it with just pine beddings. I tested it with pine beddings and like barn lime. And then two other commercial products, PDZ and Parlor Pal, to see how much ammonia was emitted. So I could determine which would be the best way of reducing the amount of ammonia produced so that I could recommend that producers use the lime with the pine beddings, because that had the second most decrease out of any of the things, but it's also the cheapest, right? Mm-hmm. I included that in my research because I feel like it's super important to not only show what the true best way to reduce ammonia is, mm-hmm. but also to show the most economical and most efficient way.
How smart is he?
So super smart.
Parlor Pal, which was number one, is used in horse barns. That was the best, but the most expensive. So he went with pine beddings, which is lime with pine. And then to go over again one more time, PDZ powder. I was wondering what that is. It's spread to the ground to reduce ammonia. It has calcium-based rocks that are porous to trap the gases. So I thought that his research was really cool, and he's from Beaver Dam. So he's a reminder of the importance of supporting our local farmers, dedication, innovation for the next generation.
Farmers are the backbone of our country, and to make sure they're supported in a way where they can continue to produce food, crops, and all the things that they do for our country, I think is super important.
His favorite fun chicken that he has, not the poultry kind, you can see a photo of it if you text WATCH to 855-616-1620. They're the Rhode Island Reds. They lay a lot of eggs, very hardy in the winter. So they still lay in the winter. And so he's been breeding those and showing those for years.
Those three birds are beautiful if you text the word WATCH.
Friday afternoon. Let's do this.
In case you missed it.
All right. I will go first. Dateline, Melbourne, Australia.
Hello.
Thank you. Messages in a bottle written by two Australian soldiers a few days into their voyage during World War I have been found more than a century later on Australia's coast. The Brown family out walking around on the beach doing a regular thing that they do, and they saw a thick glass bottle. They picked it up, and there were cheerful letters written in pencil by Privates Malcolm Neville and William Harley, dated August 15th, 1916. Neville was killed in action a year later. Harley was wounded twice but survived. Neville requested the bottle's finder deliver the letters to his mother, Robertina. Well, she's obviously not alive any longer. But he wrote in the letters, "We're having a great time, Mom. Food is real good so far, with the exception of one meal, which we buried at sea. The ship was rolling and heaving, but we are happy." So here's what happened. The Browns went about and they found relatives of the two soldiers from 100 years ago. One of them was Harley's granddaughter, Ann Turner. She said the family was, quote, "absolutely stunned by the find, and it feels like a miracle. We feel like our grandfather has reached out to us from the grave."
In case you missed it,
I want to introduce you to one of the smallest members of any search and rescue team in the U.S. ever. Meet Splash. Think of search and rescue like
them.
A canine hound, but Splash the Otter is specialized in water search and rescue efforts in Florida.
Dogs are great from the boat. They can tell you where the odor's coming on the surface, but they can't show you what's down at the bottom. And especially in Florida, we have a problem with alligators. They grab remains and they stuff them somewhere, and very hard to find because most of the time we're diving in water that is, you know, less than 2 inches of visibility. So everything's tactile. We're touching everywhere. And we miss them. You know, we can't find them. He doesn't have that problem. So he can go right down there and show us where it is.
He's doing a great job with rescues. Text WATCH if you'd like to see Splash. WATCH to 855-616-1620, our Sighting Limited Talking text line. He's a 2-year-old Asian small clawed otter from Florida. He's joined that search and rescue team, and it's the first ever. locating missing persons in bodies of water. Thanks, Splash.
In case you missed it.
And I'd like to introduce you to the smallest member of the Baylor women's basketball team. This little kitten was found in Coach Nikki Collins' car. She was driving along and heard a strange meow coming from the car. She searched throughout the whole car, couldn't find it. When she got home, her husband came and took off the hubcap. And they found this 4-week-old kitten, adorable little thing. She called him Sailor. And now it is the newest little tiny mascot to the women's basketball team at Baylor.
Government shutdown is over. One of the guys who voted on all this was U.S. Congressman Tom Tiffany, who is also running for governor in Wisconsin. The congressman is with us this afternoon. Congressman, thank you so much for joining us.
Good afternoon, John.
Hey, good to have you here. So let's start with the shutdown. The Affordable Care Act subsidies, those tax credits, are what Democrats wanted to discuss. At the end, a clean resolution was passed instead. Will you push for a vote on those subsidies in the U.S. House? Is that important?
Yeah, we need to accomplish affordable care. I mean, let's be charitable here, John. For 15 years, we've had the Affordable Care Act here in America, better known as Obamacare, and it clearly has not worked. We were supposed to have lower health insurance, lower health care costs. You're going to be able to keep your doctor. Neither of those has happened. So we've done that experiment. It's had 15 years. It's time to rewrite it so that we can actually have a more affordable health care. And I know I've been sharing ideas with our leadership.
Congressman Tiffany, on top of that, with the legislation to open the government, it allows Senate Republicans like Ron Johnson, who is suing the government for more than $1 million, anyone who's investigated for their involvement in the January 6th insurrection, they can enrich themselves by suing the federal government. Do you agree with that?
If there are legitimate reasons to investigate a congressional representative, then we should be treated exactly as anyone else in the public. But what happened over the last number of years is that we had elected officials that were being spied on by the executive branch. I believe in the separation of powers and that the executive branch shouldn't be spying on members of Congress.
We just had Congressman Grothman on, and he said that he hopes to bring it to the floor and repeal it.
I welcome Representative Grothman bringing that to the floor, and I want to see what his proposal is. I mean, remember, I sit on the Judiciary Committee, and we have seen this type of stuff time after time over the last few years where there's been this abuse by the FBI and the Department of Justice with their authorities. Take the Catholics in the Richmond Diocese in Virginia, where they were being surveilled by the FBI. These type of things have been happening where there's been an abuse of power by the judicial, by the Department of Justice, and the executive branch. That should not be happening. I welcome good debate on this to make sure that we don't see this spying that's been going on with some members of Congress. And if I could just add for a second, I have a colleague, Scott Perry from Pennsylvania, who had his phone taken away from him when he was traveling with his family on vacation, and he has never gotten that phone back, nor an explanation of why his phone was being taken from him.
I understand that, but the speaker has said he's going to put a clean bill out there to take this out, that he's unhappy about it. Do you agree with the speaker?
The part that I had a concern with, I mean, we'll see what the bill is, because I don't know what that bill is going to look like. But treating the House different than the Senate, I can understand why there are concerns there that this only, my understanding is it only included the Senate. I'm willing to take another look at it.
Congressman Tom Tiffany is with us. Another thing in the headlines has been the Epstein files. You will be able to vote on whether or not they should be released eventually. Will you vote to release the Epstein files?
Yeah, like any bill, John, I want to see the final version. So The only concern that I have, I believe in full transparency, regardless of what it is. Let's have full transparency for the American public. The one thing that I want to make sure is that victims are protected. If victims are protected in the bill, then I'm likely to vote for it. We need to make sure that people are not ensnared who are victims in this whole thing, and they end up having their lives destroyed, even though they're innocent victims.
So January 30th could be Groundhog's Day for air traffic controllers to refund that part of our government. You're less than a year out from the election day on November 2nd, 2026 for the gubernatorial election. How do you think that's going to be affecting your campaign and for you to get voters to want to vote for you, since you're part of the Congress that shut us down for 43 days?
So I'm the part of Congress that voted not to shut down Congress back in September. I voted once again this week not to shut down Congress. And as the governor of the state of Wisconsin, people can count on me not to shut down the government of the state of Wisconsin. I have been voting to keep the government open over the last 2 months. I will do the same as governor.
Let's talk about the governor's race. Tom Tiffany is with us. The Milwaukee Police Association endorsed you recently. Do endorsements matter in this day and age that we live in?
You know, I think they're largely overblown, and but I think this one makes a difference because it speaks to public safety, and it is a key plank that I'm going to be running on, and that is people in Wisconsin can expect to have safe streets. Now, I hope to work with locally elected officials to make sure that we have those safe streets, but the commitment that I've made is that if local officials don't take care of it, I will, because it should be a minimum requirement for local officials and for law enforcement to make sure, prosecutors also, to make sure that people have safe streets here in Wisconsin. I'm going to ensure that that happens.
Congressman Tiffany, what has been more stressful, running for governor during this time since you announced it, or the past 43 days when we had the shutdown?
I'm just doing my job. I just happened to pick up a second job here running for governor. But it's been great traveling around the state, being able to meet people. And I mean, we're fully engaged with our agenda. I've got stuff that I want to get done yet as the representative for the 7th Congressional District. And, you know, we're just trying to do both jobs at this point. And the one thing that is reinforced as I travel Wisconsin, and I happen to be in Green Bay right now, is this is a great state that we live in.
So Tommy Thompson has once again told us that he is still considering getting in the race for governor. I think most people think at the end of the day he will not, Congressman. But how would you feel if Tommy Thompson got in the race?
You know, that's his choice. And it doesn't matter whether it's Tommy Thompson or anyone else, John. I mean, I get this question regularly. What if this person gets in, that person, whatever? I mean, people have the freedom to do that. And if they choose to, regardless of what the race is, governor or any, you know, put your best foot forward and see if you can win a majority of the votes. That's all I'm focused on every day. And I am so heartened because we are seeing such great support, including the Milwaukee Police Union, which that is one endorsement that I do think makes a difference, because it says that I care about public safety and it's going to be a priority of mine. We're just out there every day trying to win votes. Whoever else may get in, I welcome him into the pool.
Congressman, as a representative, you have to run every 2 years. It's like, it seems to me like you're always either running or raising money. As governor, you need to raise a lot of money in this high-profile race. Is the role of money too significant in who we elected these offices?
You know, it is what it is. And, I mean, remember, the Democrats at this point have unlimited money. The money that's coming in from the coastal elites. I mean, remember the Supreme Court race just a couple years ago, that there was 90% of the money came from out of state. So there's an incredible amount of money coming into the state. And
that's a big number.
It really is. I can choose to cry about it or I can compete. I choose to compete. I will say one thing, though. There is a loophole in state law that allows these unlimited contributions to come in through the state party from out-of-state people. And I think that that loophole should be reviewed and perhaps changed.
U.S. Congressman Tom Tiffany is running for governor in the state of Wisconsin. Congressman, thank you so much for always making some time for us. We appreciate it.
Well, it's always good to join you guys. Have a great weekend.